Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Small passage, big message. When you think about Proverbs 22 and verse 6, there are two extremes to which people tend to go. There's some people that say that parenting rests completely on the shoulders of the parents. And if you don't do well, you're a failure. Others say that it all depends on the child. It completely depends upon the child. And if the child wants to succeed, independent of parents, parents have little to say. Extremes. Ezekiel 18, verses 19 through 23 is a passage that's often referred to, and people understand the meaning of Ezekiel 18, 19 through 23. It says, "The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, and the son shall not bear the iniquity, the sin of the father." There is a point to be made to the two extremes that I was just talking about. It all depends on the child, or it all depends on the parent? No. Here's the fact. It all depends on the parents and the child depending on God. That's really the truth. It depends on the parents and the child depending on God. When we look at Proverbs 22 and verse 6, there are three basic positions that people hold regarding this passage. The first one, and it's probably one that you have heard the most, and then the second one, the next, and then the third one, probably the least, but it's worth considering. Three positions regarding Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The first position is that it is a guarantee or a promise. To train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. That is a promise or a guarantee, according to some. The second view is this, and it's the view that generally this is true, that those who train up a child in the way he should go, that when that child is old, they won't depart from it. It's what I call the proverbial view. It's generally true, but there are exceptions to the general rule. The third view of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, takes this statement to be irony. If you allow a child to go the way he or she wants to, they're going to grow up to be an adult that wants to go the way that they want to. That's the idea in this passage, according to some. Now, I'll tell you my view. My view is either position number two, that this is a proverb that is generally true, or the third view, that this is a word of warning to parents that if we allow children to train themselves and don't provide godly training for them, when they become adults, that's the way that they're going to go too. So position two and three would be positions that I would be more sympathetic toward. Now let me talk about each of those three positions a little bit. But before I do, In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, even though it's only one verse, there's three issues that I want to make you aware of. Three issues in one verse. One of them is sort of important. The other are interesting and important to know about. The first issue has to do with the word train. Train. The Hebrew word there is capable of being rendered dedicate or initiate. And the idea, Waylon, would be is every parent should dedicate or initiate their child in the things of God. They dedicate their child to the Lord. Kind of like praying Hannah did and dedicating Samuel to the Lord. The term is used in both ways. Most translations just call it train here. But the idea of dedicating or initiating your child in the things of God, that's very biblical too, wouldn't you think? Secondly, the word child. Child. By the way, that word dedicate or initiate that's translated train here in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is the same word that's used for dedicating the temple to the Lord. That's an important thing to bring out. But this idea of child, it's a very broad term. I put this in my notes here, and I want to share this with you just so you will know. Child can be used of a newborn baby. In 1 Samuel 4 and verse 21, it is. It can be used of a person 30 years of age, and it is. Of Joseph, where he is called young, train up the young, train up a child. He's called young in Genesis 41 and verse 12. But then the passage goes on to tell us that he was 30 years young at that particular time. Verse 46 of Genesis 41. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 33, those who are of age to go to war initially are called young. Young. So it's obvious that it's possible that in this word more is involved than just taking that teeny weeny little baby from birth and bringing that child up. It can even have reference to one who's at the age of 30 or so. Just something to consider. And all of these are things that need to be thought about and pondered when we study a passage. The third issue is the most significant in my judgment. It is the expression rendered in most translations, in the way he should go. In the way he should go. You have that expression or something like it in your particular translation. Now here, it's an idiom in Hebrew, and it's literally translated the mouth of his way. Train up a child or dedicate a child in the mouth of his way. Well, there's a couple of different ways of treating that, of thinking about that. Whose way? Well, most translations think the way of the Lord. But that's not specifically stated in the passage. And when Proverbs uses it, it often uses something like in the way of righteousness or the way of the Lord. There's a modifier that lets you know something about the way. The path of light, Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Modifiers are there. And the mouth of his way literally is the idiom, the way of speaking. But that third view that I shared with you, that this is a warning, would be the mouth of his own way. The way that he wants to go. Mama, this is what I want to do. Daddy, this is what I want to do. Train up a child in the way that he wants to go. And when he is old, he'll want to go his own way too. Just saying that that's a possibility to consider based on this passage and others. So you've got those three issues. Interesting, isn't it? The third one's really the only one that makes much difference, and it doesn't make a whole lot, but it's worth pondering each one. Now let me look at the three views. The first one, that this is a promise or guarantee. If one's going to make a case for this, you have to do it this way. God means what He says and says what He means, and there are plenty of passages in Proverbs that we take at face value as universal statements that they are always true. For example, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which I preached on not that long ago. It says, what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Is that true or is it not true? Sure does sound like something that's true. This is as close to a purpose statement as you will get in the book of Proverbs. And it seems to be universally true. It seems to be a guarantee. It seems to be a promise. Now, the fact that some proverbs seem to be that way, I do not doubt. Kyle, I doubt that Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is one of those passages. There are proverbs that do not sound universal in application. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 12 and verse 21. I'll just give you a couple of examples not far removed from Proverbs 26. Proverbs 12, 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 12 and verse 21. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. I ask you, is that always true? Of course not. Is this something that is generally true? Yes, perhaps so. But we all understand that this is not a universal statement. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Proverbs 16 and verse 7 for another example. When a man's ways please the Lord, they make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Always true? Not at all. I would put it this way, as graciously and kindly as I can. When a statement concerns our relationship with the Lord in Proverbs, I'm going to take that extra seriously, like Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. But when it concerns relationships with other human beings, maybe it's giving me general principles that I need to think about. A proverb is a short, wise statement, long remembered. A short statement, long remembered, regarding God's wisdom. The fact is, and catch this, not only human experience tells me that if you train up a child in the way he should go, it's a blanket promise, it's a guarantee that they'll never depart from it. Human experience tells me that that's not always so. But so does Scripture. How is it that godly prophets, priests, and kings had bad children, and ungodly prophets, priests, and kings had good children? We can see that in Scripture itself. And I'm going to give you the clincher for people that hold the promise and guarantee argument. Think about this, because it may be that we're trying to make this passage bear more weight than God intended. And as a result, we're causing godly parents who did their best, though they were imperfect, way more pain than we ought. There's one perfect parent, and he's God. And God himself has a rebellious child called Israel. Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. The only perfect father has a rebellious child in Israel. Is it possible for a perfect parent to have a rebellious child? Yes. That brings me to the second view. The proverbial, generally true position. When we talk about Proverbs, Proverbs are a particular literary type. They are not law. They are a particular literary type. Proverbs, short statement, long remembered about wisdom. Proverbs are short, simple, and profound. Short, simple, and profound. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. The fact that there are exceptions to the general rule, Proverbs 22:6, general rule. The fact that there are exceptions to the general rule does not negate the general rule. The general rule is that training children in the way they should go, in the ways of God, when they're old, they won't depart from it. But do exceptions happen? Yes. Generally, if you're a safe driver, you don't have an accident. But hey, exceptions happen, don't they? Same thing's true with parenting. That brings me to the third position. And it's the idea, again, that this verse is not a guarantee or a promise, but it's a general principle that also has a warning behind it. In Proverbs, sometimes the use of irony takes place. If you allow a child to always have their own way, when they become an adult, they're not going to depart from wanting to have their own way. I think that there's some wisdom in that too, don't you? As one looks at this passage, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And so many of the passages regarding children in Proverbs have to do with helping the child to become wise and exercising discipline so that the child will learn self-control. The proper exercise of discipline so children can learn self-control and godliness. Why? Because children left to their own devices are going to make some major royal blunders. Isn't that the truth? That's why adult supervision is required. As we close, short passage with a big message, let me offer five pieces of godly counsel to parents. Five pieces of godly counsel to parents. First of all, put your trust and your hope in God. And no matter what the age of your children, pray for their relationship with God till the day you go to your grave. Put your trust and hope in God, and no matter what the age of your children, pray for their relationship with God until the day you go to your grave. You won't regret that. Number two, fill your mind with the things of God as parents, and fill your children's hearts and minds with the things of God too. It's amazing to me how many people know more about Harry Potter or video games as children than they know about God and His will. Fill their little hearts and minds with the things of God. But when I'm hard on children for being that way, I have to admit that I know more about baseball trivia probably even now than I know about the Bible. And I'm not proud of it. Think about our emphases. Fill your heart and mind with the things of God. And do that with your children too. Third, be consistent. Be consistent in your faith. Children can spot inconsistency from a long way off. They can spot when we say one thing and do something else, can't they? They really can. So our thoughts, our words, and our actions need to be properly considered. Are we being consistent as parents? I cannot stress this fourth one strongly enough. Be very involved in the local church. Parents, if you want things to go well, be very involved in the life of the local church. Get to know people. Having had children grow up here at Westside and now having grandchildren who are part of this congregation too, I will say with certainty, it takes a congregation to encourage a child and bring them up. People of various ages have had profound influence on my kids, and now I see people of various ages having a great influence on our four-year-old granddaughter here. And I know that there are people in Mathis, Texas, who are doing that with our other three grandchildren. I rejoice in the fact that God uses people to help my children and grandchildren go the way they should go. You should rejoice in that too. Amen, church. Parents need help. Children need help and encouragement. And sometimes God uses people in the church to be able to say and do things that we as parents really hope will go on in our kids' lives. Number five, constantly stress the joy and peace of being a Christian. Constantly stress the joy and the peace of being a Christian. Preachers can be some of the world's worst at this. Talking about problems, speaking about members. But you know what? Members can defeat everything that they're trying to accomplish with their children by talking bad about the people of God and the church far more often than we ought. Emphasize the joy and the peace of being God's child. And when you speak about Christians, may it be rare for you to speak disparagingly or critically, and may it be common for you to speak with joy and peace, because God is a God who gives us joy and peace. Just some words of counsel. Let us pray. God, God, may we always seek to handle properly your divine word. May we not place greater weight on any passage than you would have us. And God, may we place all of the weight that we should on every passage, because it is your revelation, it is your word, it is your will. And each one will give an account to you in your beloved Son, Jesus. And the word that he has spoken will judge us in the last day. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for his will. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired men of God to pen the message of God. And what a treasure we have when we can open your word and hear it properly, rightly divided. May your will always be done, and may love and a determination to serve you always be our guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attention. We're going to stand and sing our song of encouragement. If there's someone here tonight that wants to put Jesus on in baptism, what a great way to end a beautiful day. And if there's someone here as a Christian who needs the prayers of the church, we would be so delighted and so humbled to go to God in prayer on your behalf. Don't leave this building. Don't leave this building. Please don't leave tonight uncertain about your soul. Let us stand and sing.